Mrs. Hallowes, reel 3.
I had a TB, and I had still had no toenails, of course. In fact, I had no toenails for 3 years. So I was working very badly because I had one septic toe, and I learned to work on my heels to save my toes. In fact, when I came back to England, I could only wear a pair of men's shoes. I had a bad spine because on coming down from a mountain in France, 3 days before we were captured, I had hurt my back on the edge of a rock. Of course, this was never attended to, so to this day, it's not what it should be. But, I mean, everybody was in more or less a terrible state. I was just one more, or one of them. Well, I made quite a good recovery. I've been very fortunate and very lucky. People used to say to me when I came back, "You must have such a terrible idea of human beings. You must be frightened almost of human beings." I used to say, "No, why? Nothing has changed. There were always bad people. I've seen a lot of bad people, but because of those evil ones, I have seen the most noble people. I have been very greatly inspired. So this is what I wish to remember of it. I consider that it has been an extraordinary experience. I'm 1,000 years old, and I love people. And I do. Definitely do."
So you didn't feel bitter when you came back?
No, of course not. There was nothing to be bitter about. There's nothing to be bitter about. Bitterness is a waste of everything. What you have to do is to remember. You must remember, because it is a duty one has to the people who did the right things, to one's comrades, to all the good and brave people. You have to remember them. But there's no point in being bitter and wanting to create the same kind of feelings, of hatred. It's pointless and harmful. And, you know, I have been so terribly fortunate. I have got my wonderful family. I'm a very happy woman. I've got a marvelous husband. People are most kind and generous to me, very much more than I deserve. It is extraordinary. I'm touched every day by the generosity of people. And it has been fantastic. I'm only sad, extremely sad, and always will be, for the rest of my life, that my comrades did not come back. That's all.
If you had to face the choice of going as an agent again, would you do it?
No, never.
Why not?
Because it is a game. It is a game that I suppose is a good game for certain people. It is also a game of youth in a way. You've got to have ideas to carry you through, and therefore you've got the mental strength, the physical strength to play that game. But I think it is not possible for that game to ever be completely a clean game. And I would not be involved with such a game ever again. If there was another war and I still could stand on my 2 feet or do whatever I could, I would nurse, I would cook, I would do anything else. But I would not enter into that ever again. It is very difficult to accept some factors of that game.
Now, we've mentioned Tickell's biography several times.
Yes.
Was that biography accurate, or are there any corrections which you feel need to be made to it?
No, they are not. I think it was as it was. The only embarrassing thing about it, as it was about the film, in fact, we did not even end the film that way, because my story is more like a bad Hollywood film than a good one. So, I mean, I'm sure that it's difficult for people to believe some part of it, but it did happen the way it did, and I can't alter the fact. I did survive, and I should not. I don't take any pride in that. It's nothing to do with me whatsoever. A lot of things like that. I've been, I don't know what you call it, lucky, if one wants to call it that.
Can I ask you the same question about the film that was made? Were you satisfied with the film?
Yes, very. Because I found in Anna Nigold someone of great honesty and sincerity. There were two main qualities. And Herbert Wilcox had wanted a French actress, and the Americans wanted to make the film. I was against that. Even I had, if the article would have wanted done in America, he would have been paid much more for it. I could not have stopped it, but he was kind enough to know, to understand that it would upset me, so he decided to let Herbert Wilcox make the film. Herbert Wilcox wanted a French actress, and I said, well, it doesn't matter. You see, I don't want me in the film. I'm one of the girls. And I want everybody to see the girls to the film. So they were not all French women, French girls. So it's just as well done by an English one. It's not me I want to see in the film. I want to see them. And really, it is their story. It really is. You see, I discovered when I came back and I used to try to interest people in their story. It was always the same thing. Yes, that's very interesting. But what did you? And it was always coming back to me. Because there I was, and I could answer. I had a voice to answer with. And so I decided that the best thing to do was to try to give them some kind of publicity, which was started by the book of the article and the film, and then after that by Violette Szabo. And I did help a little with Violette Szabo's book, and quite a lot. I was technical advisor on the film about Violette Szabo. So it really started the ball rolling like that. And that's the only satisfaction I've got out of all that. I think Anna was very good in the film because she had this great simplicity and honesty, and she did it with all her heart, really. And I shall always be grateful to her because the film passed the test in places where I thought it would be difficult. It passed more than the test in Paris. We had a wonderful show of it at the Opera. It was the first time a film had been shown at the Opera in Paris. We had a wonderful reception for it, for the film. And I was worried because I thought, well, now we are in a country where they know it all. And it was for charity. It was for the families of the people who had been in concentration camps. And it was a very successful evening in every possible way. The critics said the film was very to the truth and everything. We took it to Belgium, where it was extremely well received, and to Holland, where also it had to pass the test, and it did. I think everybody felt the sincerity and the simplicity of it. It really was, if you like, it really wasn't clever. I mean, when I think what the Americans would have made of it, because they had the material to make a Hollywood film, and they would have used it to absolutely 100%. But Herbert and Anna were very good because they didn't. They toned it down rather than turn it into, as I say, a Hollywood story. And they had the material to make it so.
So you felt if it had been done in Hollywood, it would have been less true?
Absolutely. For one thing, you know, I spent a year with Anna. We went everywhere together. We went to the prisons where I had been. She met many of my comrades in France. She knew Maurice Backmaster here, who in fact did appear in the film. I mean, you know, she was absolutely into it. In fact, it took her 1 year after the end of that film to get back to normal. She was more upset by doing that film than I was by having lived the experience. It really did things to her. And I, we established an enormous bond of. We got so close, we ended up as sisters. I miss her very much.
Can you tell me about how you got the news of the George Cross?
Yes. Again, that's part of the Hollywood sort of story. You see, I never, and he did not know the George Cross existed, because, of course, when King George VI created the George Cross, I was away. And so I was trying to get my bearings, recover completely, with the children in a little cottage at Petersfield. And one evening, about 7 o'clock, there was a knock on the door. It was a newspaper reporter from, it wasn't the Evening Standard, the Daily Mirror. And said, congratulations, and all that. And I said, well, you know, what's the matter? What about? You've got the wrong address. It's not my cottage, it's just rented. He said, oh, yes, no, I've got the right person. He said, you'll soon see. I said, but what is it? What is it about? He said, well, the George Cross. I said, the George Cross, what's that? He nearly said, yeah, we can't be that stupid. I said, well, I don't know what the George Cross is. He then told me. And I said, to do with me. He said, yes, yes. He said, you read it in the Gazette tomorrow morning. It's going to be published tomorrow morning. My reaction was, well, if it's going to be published tomorrow morning in the official of the Gazette, where is it? You know it tonight. I said to him, how much did you pay for the information? He said, well, you'll have to get to be more clever than that with the press.
In other words, he had.
Yes. And he was right. The next day, we had 42 newspaper reporters in our little cottage, and Patty News, Reel, and I don't know, everything and everybody. And I didn't know what people were talking about. The best moment of that day was when I put the children to bed, and my youngest daughter said to me, Mommy, is George Cross the best thing you could do? And I said, well, Marianne, I don't know. But, you know, it seemed to be an important thing, so perhaps it is. She said, see, I want to know about school, what to say. So I said, yes, Marianne, we'll have to learn, won't we? We had to learn.
How old was she then?
About 6. We had to learn.
Now, you said that when you were in Frayne, there was a notice on the cell saying no privileges for you.
Yes.
What were the privileges that you were deprived of?
Well, you see, this notice is certainly for the personnel of the prison. It means that it is a warning to them that they are not to take you to the shower room ever, that they are not to enter into any kind of conversation with you ever, that you may get slightly less food than other people, that you are not to come into contact with anybody in the prison, therefore they are not to leave your door open at any time. Your food is to be given to you through the little trap door in the door. Those kind of things. In fact, it is that you are more in solitary.